I'd invite you to turn with me a moment as we prepare for Holy Communion to the first of the books of the Bible, Genesis, and chapter 45. This is a part of what's called the Joseph cycle in the Bible. The cycle itself is a whole lot of the book of Genesis itself. As I looked back on it, I didn't realize what a large chunk of Genesis is pertaining to the life and what happened with Joseph. But we find here in chapter 45, verses 1 to 15, sort of a core of Joseph and his brothers. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." And so there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians outside, they heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." Now, just remember that his brothers had beaten him, sold him off into slavery from where he was with them in Israel, what would become the lands of Israel, then the promised land where Abraham, Isaac, and his father Jacob, they lived. And having sold Joseph off, they thought he was as good as dead. But no, Joseph there, he thrived. As maybe to summarize it, he became even an advisor of Pharaoh's house. And so he was still there when the famine that struck the promised land drove these his brothers to come down to Egypt and beg for assistance from the famine. A lot like what we see throughout the world where famine is rampant. People dying every day looking for assistance. That's what our country did with USAID. It had its problems, yeah. A lot of problems. But a lot of what our country did was really helping people in famine. All right, that's enough of that. But so his brothers came and didn't recognize Joseph. He probably was in Egyptian dress, had the Egyptian makeup. Men wore makeup at that time. In fact, quite a bit of makeup. So Joseph was unrecognizable to these brothers of his. He had grown a lot older over the course of time. And so he said, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" he asked. But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me," he repeats it again, "but God sent me ahead of you to preserve you." Another way to translate this word is to save you. for you a remnant upon the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He repeats that thought again. God sent me here, not you. He made me father to Pharaoh. That word father means really advisor or maybe vizier, if you know that word. It's not a common word, so a counselor. A father would be a counselor. A counselor to Pharaoh. Lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have, I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who speak to you. Tell my father all about the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word for us this morning. Thanks be to God. Ask before we receive Holy Communion, who has wept for you? Who has wept for you? In chapter 50, the close of the book of Genesis, in verse 20, Joseph says of all that had happened to him at the hands of his brothers, and then after years of separation, of this reunion, he says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to those to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Three times in this passage, in the two sentences that conclude what we've read here, in these verses 45, chapter 14 to 15, four times in the whole, Joseph is said to weep over his brothers, to cry over his brothers at this reunion. Now, his brothers were scoundrels, remember, to him. They bullied him. He was a favorite child of his father's. And so all the rest of them, of course, not liking that kind of attention, they bullied him, as any one of us would, right? At least in my family. You know, the baby of my family is named Nevin. He gets away with all sorts of things that I could never get away with saying to my mother in particular. I've always wondered how in the world Nevin says some of the things that he says. But, you know, the favorite child gets away with things. And these brothers resented it. If you look at the family tree of the 12 brothers, Joseph included, descended from Jacob, their father, and the various two concubines, and also two wives. I don't know how he managed this. Four altogether women in his lives. But the family tree is a mess as a result. The sons of Leah, his first wife, who was tricked, actually, by his father-in-law upon him. It was a trick. He actually wanted Rachel, but his father-in-law gave him Leah at the first. So Leah bore Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Bilhah, who was a concubine, the servant of Rachel's, bore Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, who was the concubine, handmaid of Leah, bore Gad and Asher. And then lastly, the sons of Rachel. Rachel was the most beloved of Judah, but she couldn't bear a child for years. And so at last she bore Joseph, the sort of hero of the story, and Benjamin. Remember how Joseph asked for Benjamin at the first, and here at the last verse of this passage, he threw his arms around Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin, embracing him, wept as well. And he kissed, it says, all his brothers, these other 11. Now, some of you may know the story, but I recount it just in case you don't remember it or haven't heard it. His brothers, remember, had hatched this plan to beat him up and kill him. But it was Judah who said, "Oh, we got to come up with a different plan. Let's just throw him in a pit." And afterward, these others, they were part of the tribe of Ishmael, Ishmaelites, as they're also called Midianites, came along as traitors. The scripture says in chapter 37, verse 27. They were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and were on their way down to Egypt. And so the brothers decided to sell Joseph to them. And that's how Joseph ended up down in Egypt. And from there, he became a trusted advisor of Pharaoh. Now, that's a whole other part of Joseph's story. So just hang on to that in your hat. But remember that these brothers, they intended to harm. It was meant evil against Joseph. But God intended it for good, to accomplish the saving of many lives. Three times, Joseph tells his brother that even though their plan was for evil, God's sovereign plan the God who is the ruler of all nations, regardless of what we think, the Lord of sea and sky, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, God intended it for good. Those of us who live on this side of the covenants too, the old and the new, we will have to think, won't we, of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where Paul, with the confidence of faith and the sovereignty of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, declares, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purposes." This is the first, here in Genesis, the first and major thing to take away from this chapter 45 about Joseph and his brothers. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who've been called according to God's purposes, even though we may have intended for evil. Even the scoundrels among us, look around. Look at me. The scoundrels among us, those who have been with evil intent, perhaps even now, the hound of heaven, as Revelation calls the Lord, is coming. Is coming after you. Secondly, Joseph is a type of Jesus, a precursor of Jesus. Not only in his lineage, you know, he's recorded in the lineage lists in Matthew and Luke, but also in his work. Joseph was beaten and given up for slavery, and for all the brothers were concerned, for death. Jesus was beaten, flogged, and given up for death for us. But over them at their reunion, Joseph wept. Three times, even four, he wept. And before the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. In the garden, after the supper, Jesus wept. Not only in fear of the torture that lay before him, the terror of what was to happen, but because it was necessary for you and for me, Jesus wept. Jesus wept over you. As we come to the table today, remember, Jesus wept over you to save you, to save me, from the evil intent that is at the core of our brokenness. And the suffering, like that Joseph experienced, like that. In some way or other, I think we all experience. Jesus wept over you and for you. He suffered and died.